Welcome to Legend Lore with Luis and Lorne, where we talk about Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
I'm Luis, and I'm a developer at Paizo working on the Pathfinder Lost Omens line. I've been playing tabletop RPGs for over 15 years, and I've written for dozens of Pathfinder products. I'm also the GM for Valiant, and I write the Monsters Physique blog here on the No Direction Network.
And I'm Lauren, and I've been playing RPGs for almost 20 years. I write the Bend the Knee blog here on No Direction, and you can also watch me playing the Adventurous, Stellar, and Three Ring Adventure podcasts. And this week, we're talking about sneaking around. It's stealth, baby!
Shh.
Oh.
Okay, now, before we begin, just because we know a lot of what we're talking about, we do want to mention that we're not providing any kind of official answers. We're here to offer advice, and you can use that however you like. Remember that the official word from Paizo is the only official ruling out there. But don't forget, it's your game. Do what works best for your table.
Alright, now, picture this, okay? There's an evil enemy army rampaging through the countryside. And it's your countryside. But the enemy warlord, he's like really magic something. He did like a ritual, and like you can't hurt him unless you use a specific relic. But that relic's in a museum. So you gotta sneak into this museum to borrow that relic. That's stealth. But then something goes wrong. The authorities are alerted to the fact that you're stealing a relic. And now you gotta lose those authorities in the crowd. That's stealth. And then finally you get out of town. You gotta get in close to that enemy warlord so you can use that relic. Guess what that is? That's stealth. Because in Pathfinder, stealth is how you get information. It's how you set up ambushes. It's how you go about the business what need be gone about without notice. And we're going to use things like cover, concealment, and rolling a d20 on skill checks to get there.
They won't ever see you coming if all goes well after this. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, stealth is a key aspect of the game. You've probably seen it in so many other things. People sneak around buildings and TV shows and movies. You probably have done so yourself playing in a video game or even in other role-playing game sessions. And Pathfinder 2nd Edition is no different. It also has its own stealth sneaking mechanics and whatnot. They're all tied to a specific skill called stealth. And from there you have different ability or different activities that you can do, be they hiding objects on yourself, hiding yourself, or sneaking around. But yeah, stealth is in Pathfinder 2nd Edition. It's one skill, and there's surprisingly a lot of stuff that goes into stealth when you really look into it.
Now, before we talk about actually saying, I'd like to roll stealth to hide from this creature, before we get to that, there's a few things I think we need to go over first. And one of those is cover, because cover is going to be your bread and butter for setting up those situations. If you are behind a thing that blocks a little bit of line of sight, maybe not fully, but some line of sight, you got cover. And that's going to give you +2 to your armor class. It's going to give you +2 to your reflex saves against area effects like a fireball or a burning hands. And additionally, and here's the nice part, you're also going to get that +2 bonus to your hide and to your sneak checks. Yeah, it's pretty good. If your cover's not really, like, doesn't cover, like, enough of you, you know, if it's just, like, a little bit, you're like, man, I just have, like, a thin tree I can hide behind. Maybe your GM's going to say, that's light cover, you only get +1 to those same things that we just discussed. If you use one action while you are arbitrarily behind one of these things, you can increase that cover to greater cover, or you can increase the light cover to regular cover. And greater cover just increases the bonus from +2 to +4. And now, on top of this, a creature with standard or greater cover only, okay? Standard or greater can attempt a stealth check to hide, all right? But since you can't really use lesser cover, but that doesn't mean you can't use take cover to turn lesser cover into cover to use a stealth check to hide. See how complicated this gets? But it's important to try and follow along if you can.
Yes. If you're at all interested in reading the nitty-gritty rules on this, it's on page 477, the core rule book. If you're looking to hide, get to know these rules quite a bit so you know when you have the proper cover so you can hide. But cover isn't the only way that you can hide yourself. Now, it turns out you can also be concealed. Concealment comes not from something physically blocking line of sight, but you being obscured by other means. You might be standing within a fog that conceals you partially. You might be in dim light, which makes it hard to see you.
One of my favorites is a bush.
Yep, you might be under the effects of a spell that gives you some concealment. Whatever the case might be, if you have concealment, first off, just know that it's going to be more difficult to target you, and anyone that tries to target you must attempt a DC 5 flat check to hit you. So you roll that check before you even make any attack roll, so you would know beforehand if you even need to make the attack roll. But if you are in concealment or anything that conceals you even further with a higher DC, such as being invisible, you can also attempt to hide. And the concealment and invisibility rules are on page 467. They're 10 pages apart. Get to know all of these rules, because once you've taken cover, once you've been concealed, then you have to figure out whether you're hidden or observed or undetected or unnoticed. And okay, let's dive into these two.
Now, your bog standard rules, right? You roll initiative against the orcs after they bust down the door and are trying to attack the tavern. Those orcs are observed. They are not hidden, they are not undetected, and there is nothing strange you need to think about other than the fact that why are there orcs in my town, and how come I've got to be the one to deal with this? But if you are hidden from the orcs because you knew they were coming and you were behind the bar. Well, hold on. Let me not start with hidden. I don't want to start with hidden. Let's start with unnoticed, okay? You're in the back room of this tavern, right? The orcs don't know that you're there. They don't know where you are. They might not even know that you exist yet, okay? That's unnoticed. Folks aren't going to be targeting you when you're unnoticed. Now, let's say you make a noise back there. You trip over a stool, right? The orcs hear you in the back room. You now move to undetected, okay? They have to use a seek action to try and locate you. And even if they can, okay? Even if they succeed on that seek check, you'll still just be hidden. All right? Anytime you attack somebody while you are undetected, they are flat-footed, and vice versa. Any attempt to hit you while you are undetected, say, because you can be targeted, but only if they get lucky, right? Like they don't actually know what your location is, but they're like, I have an intuition. I'm gonna attack to the left of this barrel. If you're to the left of that barrel, then they can try to hit you, but it's a DC 11 flat check to not automatically miss. So roughly a 50% miss chance, but all of the seek check and the flat check to hit you, those are both secret. That way, you're not giving the player any information as to whether or not they were correct about being left of the barrel or not.
So one step up from undetected is hidden in that someone knows that you're there. They don't have the exact precise, they can't specifically say, ah, look, I see you, but they might know you're in that specific square. It might be hard to see you because you're hidden behind that barrel. You might be invisible, but you know, they notice that that's right around where the sound that you were making came from. They know specifically what square you're in, they just still can't see you for whatever the reason might be. And again, any attacks targeting you or any attempts to target you still have that DC 11 flat check. But the fact that they know what square you're in might make it easier for them to do something like, I don't know, drop a fireball that encompasses your area and still hit you because the fireball doesn't care about flat checks. Yeah. And then above that is observed. That's when you've been seen. So in short, the four steps, unnoticed, no one is aware that you even exist. They have no idea that you're there. Undetected means someone knows that you're there, they just have no idea where you are. Hidden means they know that you're there and they have a pretty good sense of what square you're in. And then observed is generally what most people are, and most times is they can see you, other people can see you. That's it. You might still be under the effects of concealment when you're observed. You know, they might be able to see you and know that you're in the mist, but still have that mist chance and whatnot. But observed is the top level in terms of visibility and detection.
Now, I wanted to bring all of these, cover and concealment and detection levels, up first, because we're going to put them all together as we start rolling the dice on stealth. The first action in becoming undetected, right, from a fight, okay? You're in this bar, there's orcs busting in, and they know you're here because you weren't in the back room. You're going to go behind the bar, and you're going to use one action to hide, okay? You have to be behind cover or behind greater cover or have concealment to hide, all right? And you'll get the circumstance bonus from your covers to that check. If you succeed on this check, you become hidden. Now, you use your second action to sneak, okay? Sneak lets you become undetected because you're moving half of your speed with a stride, right? So they knew where you are, but now they don't because you moved. And you're still going to gain a circumstance bonus to the sneak check if you remain behind the cover the entire time.
Yeah. And breaking these things down just a bit further, hide is all or nothing. You either are hit, you either successfully hide or you don't, but do keep in mind that you might be hidden from certain creatures, but not be hidden from other creatures. You could decide to run into darkness to hide, and you can hide just fine from all the humans in the room, but the dwarf that was following you can see you just fine, and you might be hidden to the humans, but observed by the dwarf. That's an entire possibility. Keep that in mind. You don't just automatically hide from everyone. It's based on everyone else's senses and whatnot. Additionally, hide and sneak are both secret roles, so you will just declare to your GM, I want to hide. They will roll in secret, or they will let you roll if they're into that. That's fine, you know, GM doesn't have to roll in secret. But by default, it's assumed that your GM will roll in secret, and you won't know whether or not you're successfully hidden. You just know that you attempted to hide, and you'll work with that as you wish. And the one other thing about sneak here is that it's possible to leave your cover or leave your concealment for a little bit as part of that sneak action, and as long as you end up behind cover or within concealment again, you're going to be just fine. As Lauren said, at the end of the movement is when you determine that. So that'll let you run past a doorway or go from one barrel to another or something, or from one shadow to another without becoming observed, as long as you end in the appropriate spot.
And that's not going to require another hide action either. Your first action's good enough. But I do want to say here, I do want to kind of vouch a little bit for making these not be secret checks. Because I feel like when you sneak or when you hide, right, and you step on a branch, you know that snap happened. You know you just rolled low. And I feel like it's fair to let a player get that. Like, I don't know. That's just me. Maybe as a GM, maybe you let them know when they critically fail, but maybe not regularly fail. That could be fair, too. The last use of the stealth skill, as listed in the core rulebook, is to conceal an object. It's one action. And this is good old pickpocket. You're taking something, you're hiding it on you. Or maybe you're not even pickpocketing somebody else. Maybe you're just hiding a knife in your boot or something like that so you can get it past the guards. You're going to smuggle something. Yeah, you'll use stealth here too, and that's just going to be a secret stealth check versus the passive perception of whoever you're trying to sneak it past or get it from.
Yeah, it's going to be versus their perception, the creature's perception DC. So add 10 to their perception, and that's the DC that you're trying to meet. So finally, that's how you stealth. The stealth skill on its own is relatively simple, I feel, once you understand cover and concealment and all the detection levels. Once you have all of those in mind, then it's easy to kind of roll these because there's not much more. All the complications come from detection levels and having the appropriate cover and whatnot for your stealth. Beyond that, there are lots of ways to modify your stealth. There are lots of feats, ancestry feats, class feats, and class features that will do you very good in terms of sneaking around. For example, the goblins have the very sneaky ancestry feat, which in short lets you take multiple sneak actions all together and only count if you started and ended in cover or concealment for being hidden once you're done with all of the movement. So you could in theory sneak three times and move across an entire room and not worry about being noticed until the very end. And the rogue has various sneak related feats. The sneak skill has lots of skill feats related to it, so you can eventually sneak at full speed and possibly sneak pretty much anywhere, even if you're observed, if you're a legendary sneaker. So lots of ways to fiddle with that, but that's the baseline, and from there you can make it even better.
Now, ever since sneaking around has been in tabletop role-playing games, it's had one huge nerf to it that just doesn't seem to go away. And that's the fact that you're playing with other people who ain't going to be stealthy, right? Like, you're always going to want to be like, I bet I could get the drop on them. And then your big fighter's going to clank, clank, clank up and be like, yeah, you can. And then, but then it's initiative. Like, it's always initiative when you're not ready for it to be, if you're the rogue. But Pathfinder 2 has got you covered here, okay? Because there is such a thing as follow the expert. You tell everybody, hey, shh, 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 shh. I wanna sneak up, okay? And what this is going to do is this is going to let everybody who chooses to follow you, who is rolling stealth, okay? They're going to get a bonus to their stealth check equal to your level, and a bonus on that, like a plus 2 or plus 3 or plus 4, depending on your expertise in it. Okay? So now, like, the wizard who didn't train their stealth, they're not really going to be, like, the biggest burden in the world for you. And on top of that, okay, there's a feat. Makes us even better. It's quiet allies. So when you and your group are using follow the expert, okay, you're only going to roll one time for, like, the whole group. You're going to use the lowest, sure, but, like, that's not a big deal. Like, the problem with everybody rolling is that you have more chances to roll bad. So, like, if just one person rolls, like, even if it's the worst one, mathematically, you still have a better chance of remaining undetected.
Yeah, in addition to quiet allies, with rolling just a single roll, if you need to roll again, which this is only if it's not a secret roll, but you could, in theory, just spend one hero point rather than four or five different hero points, depending on how many people are rolling, which makes it easier to sneak around. I have my home group who has the stealth. They follow the expert with the rogue and use quiet allies, and had turned out to do surprisingly well in sneaking around, considering one of them is the big heavy armored fighter and one is the druid with no dexterity.
Now, something kind of snuck up on me here. I wasn't expecting it to be time for questions. From Network Mender Ron, how does it combine with initiative? That is, like, other than I'm sneaking around, let you use stealth for initiative?
Well, the other big thing that stealth does when it comes to initiative is determine your level of detection at the start of combat. If you have been sneaking around, it's entirely possible that you might be unnoticed when you go into combat. You might have the rest of your party come into a room, but you might be hiding up in the rafters as they start their attack, and no one knows you're there. Suddenly, you have an opportunity to do a lot of stuff, and you might be able to even remain unnoticed or undetected, or at least hidden for the entirety of combat. Because stealth, specifically hide and sneak, are just one action it only takes one action to sneak or hide in combat. You could potentially remain hidden for as long as you wanted and continue to take cover and whatnot. So you might start off unnoticed and might be able to keep that going for quite a while.
Now, one thing I have got to mention here is that even though Pathfinder 2 no longer has a surprise round, that doesn't mean it doesn't still have surprise. And the way surprise works in 2nd edition is it interacts directly with initiative. If you've got the drop on, like some group, okay? Like if the orcs have a drop on the folks in the tavern. They weren't expecting them to kick in the door, right? They're surprised! And that's going to give... might give the orcs, like, a plus one or a plus two. Might give the people in the tavern, like, a minus one or a minus two. Just depending on exactly how unaware they are. How engrossed they are in their fine dining. And stealth just helps contribute to this. Stealth helps set up those situations of surprise so that you can install bonuses or minuses as needed.
Yeah, and for sure, people who are unaware of you are flat-footed at the very least, so that's a bonus to... or it makes it easy to get that first attack in or even a sneak attack in if you're into that kind of thing.
If you're into that kind of thing.
Who knows? You might be sneaking around and not be able to sneak attack. You might be able to do sneak attacks, but not have sneak attack. Anyway, our next question is from our patron, Dom, who asks, how do you folks denote lighting levels on the battlefield so that your stealthy PCs can best take advantage?
So what I want to do, but I've never actually done this, but I'll probably do it next time I run a physical in-person game, is I really want to get, like filter paper, you know, like this thin paper that's kind of translucent, and I kind of want to like cut it out to be the radius of a torch, and then I could say like, and then I cut like a smaller circle, you know, that all and these equate to like, this is dim light, this is bright light, and then that way now we have like a ring here, like this is dim, if there's creatures in here they're concealed, you know. I would do that. These days, though, with everything being work and play from home, you have all of these different programs, like Roll20, who they can already kind of do this. They can already kind of have lighting levels on the battlefield. So those are what I would be taking advantage of.
Yeah, virtual tabletops do make it a lot easier. When I was playing in person, usually I wouldn't even worry about the lighting levels until someone asked me. So I would encourage you to encourage your players to remind you, hey, is there some darkness here, or what's the light level and whatnot here and there? Because you're liable to forget to even mention it when you're setting up combat and rolling initiative, because you have six monsters to roll and then everyone else to run and also the trap that's about to go off. So keep in mind that it's okay if your players ask you for that to help you out.
From user Radium Elemental, how much detail do you go into regarding special precautions to use stealth against unusual senses? And do you do anything to keep that narrative aspect if someone takes, like, the foil senses feat?
Okay. Well, first let's talk about what these unusual senses might be. By default, the game assumes that most creatures can see with eyes, have some kind of vision, and can hear with ears, or have some kind of auditory senses. And vision is considered a primary sense for most standard creatures. So a human or an elf or a dwarf sees primarily with their eyes, and they might have what's called an imprecise sense with their hearing, an imprecise sense being one that can only detect up to so far. At best, you can know that something is hidden by just hearing them or just smelling them out or whatever the case might be. And the game specifically talks about then from there unique senses, unusual senses like tremor sense or stuff like that, that might have very specific ways to hide or stay hidden from them. When something can detect footsteps by feeling the vibrations on the ground, maybe sneaking around requires some extra precautions. So typically, if you're fighting orcs, if you're fighting goblins, you don't have to worry about this stuff. It's only when you get into dealing with creatures that have these senses. If, you know, you're fighting a creature with scent, if you're fighting a creature with the tremor sense, with wave sense, find site for like echolocation, that's when you have to start worrying about this. For the most part, though, a lot of these senses just represent a lot of what vision can do, but just in different ways. If you're fighting with echolo, if you're fighting something with echolocation, it still can't see you behind a box because the box would bounce back and make that sense. So you can still hide normally. If you're fighting something with scent, you probably can hide among things like scented candles or a pile of dung or whatever the case might be to block your scent, the block your scent and stuff like that. But from there, it's really how detailed you want to get into these kind of things. If I have a very specific fight with a creature with tremor sense, I might make sure to read up on the unusual senses and figure out a way that the creature might detect the party, and then ask what the person who is doing stealth does to keep hidden from that. And that's what the rules recommend here, is just ask what your player does to avoid being noticed in these kind of situations. Do they maybe choose to walk on their tippy toes, which means that they walk even slower when they're sneaking around, or maybe the wizard casts levitate on them and there's no concern about that anymore. It's really up to you how detailed you want to get. Foil senses is really there to just not have to come up with an explanation for it, really. You're such a good sneaker that you're always coming up with some way to sneak around. And it's ultimately, I think this is kind of hard to work with. It's as detailed or as vague as you want it to be. I lean more in the direction of hand waving it and just, yes, I believe that you can find a way to sneak around on this. Just give me a kind of decent explanation and we'll work with that.
I probably do this a little bit differently.
Sure.
Even if the worm has tremor sense, I'm gonna let my players roll stealth out the box. Just the only thing I'm gonna do is if they don't have some kind of precaution against whatever unusual sense it is, I'm gonna say whatever their success condition is goes down by one. So if they would succeed, it's now a failure because they still know you're there, but they get something out of it. Because with stealth, like, a failure isn't as bad as a critical failure, you know? I'm gonna let them have that. But then if they tell me I'm gonna chuck a bag of marbles, I'm just gonna swing it so there's just marbles just rolling around all over the place, and then stealth, I'm gonna say, all right, yeah, it has trouble using its tremor sense to detect you, so I'm not gonna give them any penalty there, you know? I'm gonna say you don't take that degraded success condition. And you know, how much detail do you require your players to go into? That's just, you know, it's what you expect from your players, right? Now that's really just between you and them.
They're unusual senses for a reason, so it's going to be an unusual case no matter how you decide to rule it.
I think that's a good way to put it. Like, for an unusual sense, expect an unusual method. There you go.
So, our next question here comes from user UpB, who asks, how can GMs and players work together during stealth exploration to make the game a more communal storytelling experience? Especially in cases where only one or a few of the characters are doing the sneaking.
So this is actually one of my favorite things to set up in a game, and I consider it. So, side note, when I run a game, I like to have some goals for myself. Like, I want this to happen, I want this to happen, I want this to happen. If these things happen, like, at some time during the campaign, then I'm gonna feel, like, really good about it. One of the ones that has never happened, but one day I want it to, is I want one of the party members to kill another party member, but be really, really sad that they feel like they have to do it. You know? I don't know. It just, I want like that emotional moment, you know? Like when Kirk has to kill Spock, you know? Like he doesn't feel good about that, but like he has to do it for the story, and Spock's like, you know, I love you, my man. You know? I don't know. Anyway, one of the things that one of my goals is I like to have a mission like this, where the group as a whole is doing one thing, but maybe one or two characters are off doing something else. And I'll go back and forth. Like, I'll kind of say, like, okay, so the main core of the group, you're infiltrating the fort, right? Or you're going in through the front door, okay? These other two are going in through the side door or the back or whatever. I want to come up with things where the side group, okay, or the one character who's going off, where they can do things that directly affect the experience of the other group. So, like, they cut a rope and, like, some supplies fall down or something, you know, things like that. If they can get past these guards, they can unlock the gate, you know? That's how I would get your GMs and your players to all work together. That's what I would do. And that's what I like. I think it's crazy fun to kind of go back and forth between that in real time.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to suggest first, is maybe they're part of the stealth, but they're not sneaking. They're providing distractions and stuff like that. Otherwise, the game finally has, you know, mechanics to help you out with this kind of situation. If everyone needs to sneak around, you have follow the expert, you have quiet allies and the like. But sometimes it happens that someone sneaks off and has to do a thing on their own, or one or two people have to do that. And that's okay, as long as you eventually know to get a chance to put that spotlight back on the other players who didn't do anything for a little while. You don't want it to be one or two players playing on their own while everyone sits around, but sometimes that happens, and people can become invested in that. I know I've seen my players just kind of wait and watch and get invested in the one rogue sneaking around, hoping to let them into the castle. And that's just as exciting for them as they watch that play out. So it might be something that they have fun just watching and being an audience for in some cases as well.
And don't be afraid to give them something to do if they're just watching the rogue sneak around. Like, while you're sitting here waiting, like, I don't know, some townsperson comes up. Like, excuse me, sir. But they're really suspicious, right? Like blue is sus. What's this guy got going on? You know? Yeah, don't be afraid of that. Anyway, from user Brian Lane, when designing an encounter map, how can a GM create spaces for PCs to creatively stealth without drawing, like, a big arrow that says, dark corner here?
Well, I think the first thing you should recognize is that stealth isn't entirely reliant on light. You can hide behind barrels, behind pillars, behind any kind of cover, as we've mentioned before. If there are horses out there and you have a halfling sneaking around, you can probably make a good argument for hiding behind a horse and still have that be part of the encounter map. So don't feel like you have to rely on creating shadows and different light levels just for sneaking around. Make walls, make short walls on battlefields, you know, for cover. Make the bar, make pillars, make all kind of manner of things that someone could theoretically have at least a minimum amount of cover, so then they can choose to take cover, and once they've taken cover, then they can hide. But it turns out that as long as you have something on a battlefield that isn't just a flat, featureless thing, having even trees out there is more than enough to be enough for stealth. Just put what you feel is natural in a room or in the encounter map, and players will probably find that, oh yeah, it looks like I can hide behind that. And if they think they can hide behind it, you probably are going to follow along and be like, yeah, I think you're right. I think you can hide behind that too.
My first thought here, I have two thoughts here, okay? And my first one is that you really kind of don't need to design things on an encounter map for your PCs. Like, I feel like the onus is on the PC to determine how they want to creatively use stealth. But, like, for them to be able to do that, you can't just have, like, just barren dungeons with, like, rooms that are unadorned and passages that are just completely, like, blank. You gotta have things going on. Like, you gotta have trenches, maybe catwalks, maybe buttresses. You can have, like, barrels and like all kinds of like trash and accoutrement to dress a room with, just lying around. Like, if you just populate your areas with the stuff that would be in those areas, then your PCs can creatively come up with options for stealth. And you don't have to have any big arrows to that. Just, you know, just say, like, eventually your PCs will get used to it, you know? So, like, when your PCs go into a room or they go into a dungeon, just say, this dungeon is littered with bones of all shapes and sizes, some as small as a mouse leading up to those as large as a worm, as a purple worm. I don't think those have bones, do they? Those are worms. They're probably invertebrates. Regardless, some as large as a mammoth, you know? Now the PCs know, like, if they need to quickly duck behind something, they say, hey, is there, like, a big old mammoth skull around here or something I can sneak around? You know, and then you can say, yeah, that, sure. Go behind it and roll hide. You know? Just tell them how you have dressed the place so that they can interact with it. Easy peasy. Did any of these answers sneak up on you? Were you flat-footed to any of the knowledge about stealth? Because that's all we have for you today. Make sure you check out the rest of our content on the No Direction Network. If you like this show or any of our other blogs or shows, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/nodirection, because it is the support of our patrons that make this all possible.
Until next time, I'm Luis.
And I'm Lauren.
Thanks for listening to Legend Lore. And as always, it's been legendary.